you in the whole 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. Get off TikTok right now. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern
I'm
time.
I'm ticking. I have a lot of things going on over here.
Let me do the talking around here because you can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN, Twitter, funny. Facebook, and YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. It's Tuesday, so we're on to week. Oh, wait, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're still 15.
It's, you know, they have a new matrix, right? And it is everything's coming back around again. We can't get out of this week. It is a time warp. Yeah. It's a black hole. It's a fantasy ineptitude. It's a cornucopia of suckage. It's unbelievable. Like it's a black hole of happiness is this week, and we can't get out of it. We still have two more games tonight. Hopefully that they don't get postponed. And you know, it's just, this is like so unbelievably brutal. I mean, you know, and last we were like, you're like, it was one of those things where like all these games were so brutal. It was a fantasy Armageddon. It was just, it was the real life, you know, dog sitting there with flames going around him. This is fine. It was the real life version of that for fantasy football. Awful. Until we got to Monday night, to which the Monday night games were like, hold our beer.
Yeah, pretty bad. We'll talk about the miss a little bit.
You think this week was bad? Wait till you see the bleep that we got for you.
Yeah, man. It was quite a weekend. It has been quite a weekend. We have two more games tonight. As you know, it's me, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel here. We're going to give you a quick rundown of what took place last night. We have a ton of updates to get to as well.
Sure, yeah. What did take place last night?
Well, we'll get into that in just a little bit.
I'm going to enjoy watching Field talk about this.
We will talk about waivers, although sure. a note that in your league, waivers will run one day later. Yes. So in most leagues, that means tomorrow night, meaning Wednesday night into Thursday morning will be when waivers run. So we'll discuss some names this morning.
On ESPN, we should clarify. I can't speak to what other platforms are doing. I didn't know others existed.
Others do exist. That's news to me. We can drop a breaking news drop next time we have such information like that. But before we get to waivers and also a Monday Night Football doubleheader recap, we have to get to some updates here. And we begin, Stefania. Unfortunately, yesterday was another day filled with COVID-19 news, a total of 47 players, plus four more that had tested positive on Sunday, were placed on the COVID-19 list. That 47 players, the most in any single day the NFL has ever had in these two seasons filled with COVID-19 news. So a busy day.
And I think, you know, again, just to reiterate, there's some new rules in place. So they are doing spot testing now. So asymptomatic vaccinated players are no longer going to be tested.
Right.
Unvaccinated players are tested daily, but there is spot testing. And out of that spot testing, they're going to find some positive tests. And that did happen yesterday.
There are 51, right? So it's 47 yesterday. It's four more on Sunday. So 51 total names. Stefania, do me a favor, quickly reel them all off off the top of your head.
Yeah. That's
go ahead.
Not going to happen.
Stefania, let me just ask you a question because I had heard something yesterday that maybe jives with. When you say spot testing, is it the same thing as basically random testing? Because my understanding is that there are just some, like, they're going to, on occasion, just test players.
Right.
Is that what the spot testing refers to?
Yes, and it's it sounds like they're doing it by grouping, you know. Mm. So it would be like a running back room, and that might include running back players and running back coaches.
Gotcha.
So it'll be a mix of individuals, and you know the assumption is again that with the prevalence of the virus in the community, you're going to have more asymptomatic positives. So the assumption is you're going to find some positives when you do those random tests, even if they are asymptomatic. So just keep that in mind. That's the plan going forward.
But one name that was reported to be headed to the COVID-19 list, and I am not trying to implicate the reporters who passed along this information because this falls into the category of pure confusion, was Austin Eckler, Stefania. However, technically right now, what is the status of Austin Eckler as of 11:04 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday morning?
So as of 11:04 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday morning, Austin Eckler is not on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Okay, so he is not, but there was reporting yesterday from good people who cover the Chargers who it seems like there is a situation taking place in Los Angeles right now that could involve Austin Eckler. Several teammates were placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. That includes star pass rusher Joey Bosa. What I think we are trying to explain now is that Austin Ekeler has neither been ruled out for Sunday of this week against the Houston Texans, nor is he out of the woods in this situation. Like, your antenna should be up as a result of the reporting that took place yesterday. We hope to have some clarity today, Tuesday. Hopefully we do. We'll let you know if we do. But for now, Austin Ekeler, technically not on the reserve COVID-19 list, but could end up there at some
point
this
week. I'm looking at the transaction report as it stands right now. And there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Chargers placed on that list yesterday. He is not one of them.
So I think it's worth having the conversation more, you know, even more tomorrow, if we have A, clarity, and B, the fact that waivers are running, about what it would mean. Justin Jackson actually had more carries than Austin Ekeler last Thursday night. We'll dive into him more a little bit later on in the show, and also tomorrow if we get even more clarity there.
If Austin Ekeler were ruled out, it would be a committee, but I agree with you. If you were starting a Chargers running back, it likely would be Justin Jackson. I think he would be the one that you would want to have. You'd see some Joshua Kelly, probably some Larry Roundtree as well. Again, if Ekeler were ruled out of this game, the shame of it is, obviously, not just a star player, not just week 16 of the fantasy playoffs, but they play Houston, right? So just an amazing matchup as well. If you're counting on Austin Ekeler, I think a Fields warning is correct here. Antenna should be up, and you should be proactive. If Justin Jackson would be the most obvious, again, he won't get all of Eckler's work, but he'd be the person
presumptive
will have,
he'll be the
one we rank the highest of the Chargers running backs.
All right, so Stefania, from that news to news that was reported one way initially as well, and a reminder, like, we're so desperate to be first on stuff that it feels like we're not getting the full picture, because yesterday it seemed like Chris Godwin, there was a report that he was hurt, but he was going to be fine, and then we got a much different picture just a few hours later.
Well, and to be fair, came from the Buccaneers themselves. I believe that there were reports that Chris Godwin had an MCL sprain. All the reporters who cover the team uniformly had that information. And then yesterday, Bruce Arians informed everyone that he had an ACL tear and is done for this season. Mm. And I just want to be clear that sometimes the news that comes out, there will be a statement, there's conversation, and it might be a portion of the injury. I'm not saying he does or doesn't have one or the other, but it could be a combination injury, ACL, MCL, and it could have been there was part of it that was revealed. But the ACL injury, ultimately, the thing that is probably the most severe, and sometimes once they do the full evaluation, they come to the conclusion this is the most severe part of the injury, you get that label and not the complete picture. So the bottom line for fantasy manager purposes is that Chris Godwin, unfortunately, is done for the season. And we hope to see him back next year. He was having a great season.
A guy who's going to be a free agent this offseason, playing on the franchise tag. He's been unbelievable for the Buccaneers. Here's hoping that this injury does not compromise his long-term outlook as far as the financials are concerned this offseason. My guess, he's still going to get a big old bag. But
yeah, if you go by precedent, too, if you look at like somebody like Cortland Sutton, who came back from an ACL, MCL injury and looked fantastic, really, at the start of the season. We're not going to talk about his utilization right now. That's a different issue. But if you look at how well he was performing at the start of the year, and we're seeing more and more guys come back and have success after these injuries, I think Chris Godwin can and should get paid.
I was excited because, you know, it's just like what Cortland Sutton did is Cortland Sutton said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to prove that, I'm fully healthy. I'm going to perform at a high level. And the Broncos, look, you can argue with the strategy, but the Broncos said, we stop being productive. Here is $61 million, Cortland, and you just keep running routes. We're not going to get you the ball. We're not going to throw you. We're not even going to look your way. But here's $61 million to just, keep doing fly routes.
Stefania.
It's very exciting.
While we're on the topic of Bucks conversation,
$61 million doesn't buy you what it used to. It is what it is.
What did it buy you in your first $61 million deal?
Did you make $61 million a few years ago? And so you have this comparison?
It does.
Which year are you referring to?
Yeah, exactly. Last year. And by the way, that's why Cortland Sutton and I have very similar fantasy production.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
While
we are talking Bucks, let's talk about a couple of other skilled players here, because there are some important updates on both Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette as well.
Yeah, so Leonard Fournette, I mean, it sounds like you may not have him for the next game. Leonard Fournette dealing with a hamstring injury now. So I think you should make plans to be able to replace Leonard Fournette in your lineup. Mike Evans sounded like came away with a relatively mild injury. And so just follow the reporting day to day, but there's not a timeline on Mike Evans.
Okay, so there's a chance it sounds like Mike Evans could play in week 16. Nothing certain right there. And yesterday, Bruce Arians referenced how Leonard Fournette last year had the door open when Ronald Jones, one of the COVID-19 lists, was dealing with some injuries. And Leonard Fournette took that job and literally ran with it. Now he said yesterday, hey, we need Ronald Jones to do what Leonard Fournette did last year when his opportunity arose. So it seems like the Bucs are at least internally planning as to find his head for one game missed, maybe more. There's only three games left. And no team that the Bucs played, the Panthers, the Jets, and the Panthers. Two teams who have combined for 8 wins so far this year.
Yeah, it
eight.
Certainly felt like a challenge for Ronald Jones. I saw that too, and I was like, sort of the gauntlet down.
Yeah,
pick it up and run with it.
So understanding that, I think it's obvious what Ronald Jones means. Like, I think he's a clear-cut, must-add potential for top 10 running back play this week. Potential for running top 10 running back play next week against the Jets. Like,
sure.
Massive opportunity here, especially with Giovanni Bernard still banged up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the wide receiver conversation is more interesting. Antonio Brown's going to be back this week.
Correct.
He's probably a top 10 play if Mike Evans doesn't play. But if Mike Evans and Chris Godwin sit, Matthew, just early instincts, because we only have three shows this week, would you trust Tyler Johnson or Breshad Perriman or anybody?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing. I mean, so understand. So you've still got Rob Gronkowski, who's healthy, mm-hmm. right? And we saw against the Saints again, obviously it was a poor offensive performance by Tampa Bay, but they involved Cameron Brate. They, you know, OJ Howard got some targets. Like my expectation here is that, again, we're going into week 16. And so the Panthers, they have struggled, but they're certainly better defensively this year than they are offensively, you know? And so I don't know that I would want to trust a non-name Tampa Bay pass catcher in a playoff game in a, you know, not a cakewalk of a matchup in terms of the secondary without having seen it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, because you'll still have Antonio, in theory, you'll have Antonio Brown, you'll have Rob Gronkowski, you'll have Ronald Jones, and obviously they've used the running back a lot in the passing game. And so to hope that, could Breshad Perriman get deep for one? Sure. Did Tyler Johnson get a decent amount of targets? Yeah, but, you know, do they... I don't know, like, right, you know, Scotty Miller, right, yeah. Who's, you know, Scotty Miller, who's flashed a few times over his career in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady under center. I feel that one just feels dicey to me. It feels like there's probably better options there. And so I don't mind picking one of them up, especially because, to your point, they play the Jets in week 17. And so if we see some usage, then you're like, great. You know, that could be really interesting. I don't mind a grab and stash, but ultimately it's not anyone that I'd feel comfortable starting this week.
One more here, Stefania, and this was a huge one, obviously, is Travis Kelce has also joined the COVID-19 list.
He has. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday, Field. And just a reminder that now that there have been some changes with the protocols, there is a pathway for someone to return essentially 24 hours after the second day of testing, not to be confusing, but yesterday he was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. He could test this morning. And if that test comes back negative, there's some details to it. There are a couple of different methods that they go through to follow up and confirm that the player is indeed at either a threshold where the virus is low enough that they're comfortable returning them because it reflects no longer being contagious, or a double negative test. So there's a potential for him to return back as early as tomorrow.
I would say that in my conversations with people on teams, one way that I think the tenor sort of changed in this regard is that with these new protocols is previously, if a player tested positive, their status for that week was basically, we need a long shot. Now it's, there's a shot. Right. Mm-hmm. That seems to be how the tenor has changed, is that like they kind of went from resignation previously to optimism or hope. So we'll see on Travis Kelce. Obviously, we can't update you we don't know when we can update you. But if you're, you know, hopefully by late this week, Thursday or Friday, we'll have some sort of sense on Travis Kelce's availability.
The other aspect of that is that I think this reflects that there are more asymptomatic positives. Mm. And that is, you know, we talked about these random tests or spot testing where they're picking up some asymptomatic positives. those people are probably going to be the ones who clear the list more quickly. Sure. So if Travis Kelce indeed is one of those, we may see him back very quickly.
By the way, not to be lost in that Chiefs news was that kicker Harrison Butker has also been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Obviously one of the top fantasy kickers in football. If you have him as your kicker, look elsewhere this upcoming weekend. There's no way to replace Travis Kelce internally. No. Noah Gray is a good young player, rookie from Duke, from Massachusetts, more importantly. But no, it's important.
But to your point, you're not like, is there a Foster Moreau on the Chiefs, to speak, that you could go pick up? And we, neither of us think, or Noah Gray, like Blake Bell, right? I mean, like, unfortunately, there is not. To me, I would think that if Travis Kelce were out, to me, somebody like Byron Pringle becomes more interesting. You know, there'll be another pass catcher outside of Tyreek Hill. They spread it around a lot.
An interesting game on Sunday this will be if they don't have want them to have him, obviously. I want Travis to be healthy, obviously. I don't recall the last time he wasn't on the field for the Chiefs. He's been remarkably durable. He's an amazing player in so many ways, and one of them has been his longevity. He is just, and like, you can't, like, he's Benjamin Button, man. He's like, I think he's 31, 32. Yeah. He's like 25 in terms of how he looks on the field. Yeah. So.
32.
Is very, he really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Very similar to me.
Wow. You want to elaborate on that?
I'm also 32.
Yeah.
Take a look.
32 plus 32.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Speaking my language. I love it. Anyways, we'll keep our eyes out for Travis Kelce's status.
And jokes aside, he's kind of like a young Field Yates there. Field Yates also, I believe, 32.
34.
But you don't look it. You look 25. Right,
but the difference
maybe.
Is that, like, if I spent time running around with, like, 25 or 26 year olds, I would be slower than molasses. Meanwhile, he has 41.1 fantasy points in the opening round of the playoffs.
This is why you hang around with me. You look really fast next to me. It's really super smart of you.
Yeah,
people like, Matthew, aren't you worried Field's going to leave you? I'm like, no. Look how good Field looks next to me.
He's my security blanket.
Yeah, exactly. Field's with me for life. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Every year you pick a ride or die when really I'm your ride or die every single week. All right.
1,000% Field Minister Yates. Hey, real quickly. just as long as we're talking injuries, this is important. Real, and Stefania, this is for you as well.
Oh boy.
So, just a tweet from Cam Inman, who covers the 49ers, does a great job.
Don't give me any bad 49ers news.
What? No, this is good 49ers news, Stefania. I think like this. Is again, Cam Inman, who does a great job covering, covers the 49ers.
For the San Jose Merc.
Yes. So anyway, Cam, just tweeted, 49ers Elijah Mitchell's knee issue has, quote, taken a positive turn, unquote, and it'll be a game night decision Thursday, general manager John Lynch just said on KNBR. Mitchell is out of the concussion protocol. The knee injury came on the same play in Seattle, Lynch says. So there you go. Chance for Elijah Mitchell to return Thursday night. Good news that he's out of the concussion protocol, and we'll see about the knee injury. But that is significant, I think.
I got to tell you something. It is significant. My early read, and we'll have more of a conversation on this tomorrow, would be, even if he does play, I think I'm fading. I'm too nervous about him and Jeff Wilson Jr. splitting carries. Like, if you're the 49ers,
especially,
and you've got Debo Samuel,
it's too close. I'd feel better. Like, we're on Tuesday morning, and you're talking about 48 hours from now.
No practice. Well,
I'd be a little nervous.
And I will say this. For all the struggles they've had offensively, Tennessee is playing really good defense, especially run defense. I don't think there's been a better run defense over the last 5 weeks than the Tennessee Titans, who, as everyone knows, shut down Najee Harris this past weekend. I mean, so the Titans are, especially in run defense, really, really legit. And then you figure Debo Samuel gets 7 touches in the backfield, something like that, 5 to 7. So I like that call of fading Elijah Mitchell. Not a bad call at all. That is significant, especially given how well Jeff Wilson played.
Sure.
So if Elijah Mitchell were active, it might make the entire situation an avoid.
Maybe an interesting Week 17 call, depending on how he looks. All right, we're going to come back and recap both Monday Night Football games. First, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Yeah, you do, Stefania. And I know it can be hard work. You've been moving this past week. It's not easy. But you know it's easy?
In fairness, it's hard work for Daniel. Because Stefania's like, Daniel, come over and move all my stuff.
That's true.
It is. I mean, that's actually correct.
Wow, Daniel, I can't believe
Sorry, Stefania. Right.
Under the bus.
Daniel did move Stefania.
Yeah. No,
he moved. Like, poor Daniel. All he's got is a bike.
It's pretty hard.
He's got a bike and like a little wagon, one of those Red Ryder wagons. It took him like 400 trips to get all Stefania's stuff.
You know how the Grinch puts all that stuff on that sleigh?
That is exactly right. Stefania had poor little Rico out there with little reindeer horns dragging all Stefania's stuff as well.
Poor
little 10-pound Rico.
Oh, man.
Tell us more about Geico.
Do you have any idea what a 10-pound dog looks like?
I do. I own a 10-pound dog.
Rico is not 10 pounds.
Rico could dominate.
And Cooper. Yet, what happened when Rico and Cooper met, Stefania?
Yeah. Cooper peed on Rico because he has no manners because he belongs to you.
Yes, that's right. Cooper established dominance. My little Cooper pup established dominance over Rico.
Wow,
cool days. Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm going to make sure that Geico stays on as a sponsor for us. So, do you own or rent your home? Sure, you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home. Owners or renters insurance, along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub someone in to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
All right, time now for us to recap our Monday Night Football doubleheader. We begin in Cleveland, where the Raiders win a pretty dramatic game, actually. 17-16 is the final. Daniel Carlson hit not one, but two game-winning field goals at the clock as time expired because the Browns went for the old ice in the kicker trick. It did not quite work. I said 17-16. It was actually 16-14 Raiders over the Browns. Both teams now 7-7. But a pretty ugly game as far as fantasy was concerned. Yeah. Matthew was the highest.
I feel bad for the Browns. Great win for the Raiders. Yeah. Bummer for the Browns.
Yeah, like stuff.
Evan McPherson missed that kick. Yeah. Would have been the difference.
Totally. I mean, this is the amazing part about it is that the Browns, if they had won last night, would have woken up today, first place in their division, fourth in the AFC. Because of the loss, they're in last place in the division and 12th in the AFC. Chew on that one for a second. Crazy. Let's get back to the fantasy side here. And there wasn't much to write home about. Derek Carr had just 10.1 fantasy points. Weather wasn't great there yesterday. Josh Jacobs was okay. He had 12.4 fantasy points and 94 yards. Hunter Renfro, his worst game in a while. 3 catches for 32 yards. Even muffed a punt at one point. Yeah. Like, it was a weird day.
Super weird.
And then Foster Moreau was really their best offensive player. He had 7 catches for 65 yards, 13.5 fantasy points. I have no takeaways from this game as far as the Raiders are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, look, even though it played on a Monday, so they're out of rhythm, right? Because they were planning on playing Sunday, and all of a sudden now the game gets moved to Monday night or, you know, Monday late afternoon. Obviously, the Browns are a good defense. Wasn't great. You know, wasn't awful weather, but wasn't great weather. Cold, little bit of wind. Yeah, I don't know that there's a takeaway here. Like, if you survive this week, you're still starting Hunter Renfro next week. We'll see about Darren Waller. But Moreau is a, you know, viable tight end replacement if he's out there. And you're still starting Josh Jacobs. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Brian Edwards catches a touchdown here, but, like, whatever. Like, and you weren't starting Derek Carr anyway. So it just, you know, sort of is what it is, right? And then Cleveland side of ball again. So Nick Mullins, and by the way, credit to Nick Mullins, Stefania. And I know this is a story that you were excited about just to see. Nick Mullins played well, performed adequately, I thought, didn't do anything to hurt his stock around the NFL.
Especially, you know, it is an unglamorous exit from the 49ers after tearing the ulnar collateral ligament in his elbow. First quarterback ever to have the ulnar collateral ligament repair and return to action and really never got a chance. You know, when you're third quarterback, you don't get many reps. And then to come in not expecting to have to play, to be the starter in last night's game, and, you know, I texted him to wish him good luck, and he texted me last night and reminded me that it was a year to the day of the injury from the 49ers. And he was really grateful. He's a very humble, very sweet young man. And he was just felt like blessed to be back. And I thought he did a great job. It was unfortunate. You know, I was pulling for him. Unfortunate they didn't come away with the win, but I thought he looked good and certainly as good as could be expected given the limited practice time and everything going into the game.
No question about that. And nice humble brag there that you and Nick Mullins are texting
the
buddies. There you go. Well done there. Look, Nick Chubb was Nick Chubb, got into the end zone, actually could have had a second touchdown, got called back due to a holding call. But Nick Chubb, especially this week, which was the fantasy wasteland, you got no complaints at all about Nick Chubb and his production here. The only other thing that was sort of interesting, you know, David Njoku had a touchdown. He was half an inch away from getting that touchdown. The foot ends up going out, but then Chubb scores. To me, the interesting thing here is, and this is probably more of a next year discussion, but we've talked about him a few times, is Donovan Peoples-Jones, right? Eight targets in this one, seven the week before, 15 targets over the last 2 weeks, just 4 for 48. Had another big play where he had the ball and it got knocked out at the last second.
Can't drop the ball. Too many drops yesterday.
Many drops from Donovan Peoples-Jones, but a player overall that I like and that somebody I think will be in their plans next year.
Yep, they certainly could use some reinforcements at wide receiver. Perhaps the best reinforcements come from within. Let's get to the second game last night, which the Vikings win 17-9. The Bears scored on literally the last play of the game, which I think has two pieces of relevance. One, if you were starting Justin Fields, you picked up an extra, 4 points for the touchdown, plus 19 yards for the passing yards.
So it put you over, like in ESPN standard scoring, it put him over 275. You get a point for every 25 yards throwing. So that was a 5-point play in theory, basically, for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And I
think even more significantly, it extended the streak for the Minnesota Vikings, who have now played 11 straight one-score games. That is one shy of the record held by the Baltimore Ravens in a single season. They played 11 straight games. And I know that yesterday was really not a one-score game, but I thought that was sort of a funny footnote to the end of it.
Well, and what was so funny is that, you know, and there were, I don't know if you caught this, but, you know, Steve Levy said in the broadcast, like, and they're not going to kick the extra point. It doesn't matter. And then Scott Van Pelt immediately after on SportsCenter said, oh, it matters, which is, again, the line was 7.5. So the Vikings were favored by 7.5 points. That was the closing line at most books. So again, obviously, they win by 8. The Vikings win by 8. But if the Bears had gotten to kick the extra point, they would have won by 7. And so people that had bet the Bears would have won. I wonder if we will see that on Bad Beats at some point.
I'm sure,
from SVP.
Well, Vegas seems to know. Let's get going. In terms of the actual night, though, I mean, just a tough, tough night for some really, really good players. Nobody probably perhaps more so than Kirk Cousins, who completed just 50% of his passes for 87 yards,
87
two touchdowns.
I'm laughing just because, so my War Room League team, I have Jamar Chase, top 10 wide receiver, 16-team league, right? Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon, Nick Faulk, the number one kicker in fantasy, the Bills, like a top 3 fantasy defense. I have Ramondre Stevenson, who coming into the week was basically ranked consensus across the industry as a top 12-ish running back once Damian Harris was ruled out. And I have Kirk Cousins, who was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Like, unless Tyler Lockett gets cleared tonight or Freddie Swain has the game of his life, I'm going to finish with like under 90 fantasy points with a team that was one of the highest scoring teams in our War Room League. and so I held that hope that Kirk Cousins was still going to like kind of save me, given the fact that he was playing against a Bears secondary that was without every single starter, completely depleted. And Kirk Cousins in prime time is a thing, man. Like, he was not good. Now, in fairness to Kirk Cousins, because I'm more often than not a Kirk Cousins defender, two things I will say. One is, which is that a lot of penalties in this game. And so
brutal.
And honestly, there as many penalties as there were more that should have been called. So, I mean, part of the reasons why he only had 87 yards is because he didn't need to throw. There'd be a personal foul penalty and then a holding penalty. And like all of a sudden they're 45 yards downfield and they haven't completed a pass. They haven't needed to because the Bears were so undisciplined and had so many penalties. And then the other thing was, again, and they did a good job of showing this on the broadcast. But in case you didn't see this and you're just seeing it on social media, Kirk Cousins' interception, which was, it looked bad. It looked like it was just sort of this you know, sort of, you know,
arm punt.
Yeah, kind of an arm punt, kind of this very soft looping throw to no one other than a Bears defender playing center field. And then they showed another angle, which basically showed Jefferson basically got tackled
right
on his way. And for some reason, didn't get called. But if the Bears don't cheat and Justin Jefferson is able to, you know, go unimpeded to the ball, that interception does not look nearly, you know, who knows if it's an interception or not.
But let's get through the rest of it.
Anyway, and I just want to explain why people that are looking up going like, how did this guy throw two touchdown passes and have 87 yards?
Yeah. Well, and by the way,
he also played bad.
You said it earlier, like that Bears defense, like, they deserve so much credit for a bunch of guys who were literally practice squad players showed out last night. I thought they did an excellent job given the circumstances.
Two last quick notes here. It was Kirk Cousins, of course, week 15 fantasy playoffs. It was his second worst fantasy game of the entire year. Of course, it's, you know, in the semifinals, when in the week 15, the fantasy playoffs, when you need them. Second worst fantasy game of the year. And under 48% completion percentage in the two games without Adam Thielen. So Thielen, there was a chance he could go. Hopefully he's back next week for the Vikings.
Moving things along, Dalvin Cook had 11.1 fantasy points. Can't be mad about the workload. He had 22 plus carries in four straight healthy games, three plus targets in six straight games. Justin Jefferson, it wasn't his fault, right? 14.7 fantasy points last night, four catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown, very importantly, for red zone as well. He's got nine plus targets in six straight games. Justin Jefferson really has a case for the greatest first and second year wide receiver, a wide receiver through his first two seasons of the NFL, maybe ever. It's right up there for one of the greatest starts of all time. With just another like 150 yards the rest of this season, he will break the record for most receiving yards before the age of 23, previously held by Juju Smith-Schuster, of all people, believe it or not. Justin Fields, though, I thought Justin Fields, like, this was an interesting night. So there was some really good from Justin Fields last night. Like, it's pretty evident when he has a little bit of time and is decisive, he can really sling the football. But I know those five fantasy points at the end helped make his day look a little bit better. 16.9 in total, Matthew. He's got to avoid the easy ones. Like, it's like sacks when you're in the red zone, or like, you know, fumbles. Obviously, there was the bad fumble last night that he lost. Like, some of those things, his situational awareness has to pick up. And if it does, he's going to be a really good player.
I agree with that. And, you know, but listen, young player. And there's clearly, there'll be plenty of people that are going to pile on the Bears coaching staff. I'm not going to be one of them.
It's lame at this point.
Whatever. Like, we get. But there's clearly some dysfunction going on in Chicago. And no Allen Robinson. They expected Darnell Mooney shouldn't be a number one wide receiver. I like Darnell Mooney. I really do. He was a preseason sleeper for me. He's exceeded expectations fantasy-wise. I think he's a really nice young player. He should not be the alpha wide receiver for a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like in theory, that should be Allen Robinson, right? Like, you. So I think that I agree with you. Justin Fields needs to improve on the decision-making. I think he needs to improve on, I think he holds the ball too long. There's a lot of things that will come with playing more snaps in the NFL, but there's also some positives there as well.
Yeah, totally.
And I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night basically saying, like, Justin Fields is terrible and kind of come stop the. It is way too early to toss in the towel on Justin Fields. There's enough there that gives you, then in another year, hopefully he is the franchise quarterback he was drafted to be.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think we all believe there's still plenty of upside. I still would like to see whoever is coaching him next year to unleash him more as a runner. 35 rushing yards last night for Justin Fields. Obviously, with his athletic ability, that could be like the floor in a given week for him, not the ceiling in a given week for him. Let's move forward here. I mean, nothing else from that game, really. Mooney had six catches. Whatever. Cole Kmet had some catches. Like,
nine targets, which was nine. He's had five or more
playing
targets
from behind, right?
Eight of the last nine games.
Like, you know, he's just like a lot of other tight ends. Like, he might catch five passes. He might have two. Probably won't score a touchdown. If you get lucky, if he does, sweet.
In terms of an actionable, like, you're starting Darnell Mooney and David Montgomery next week, and Fields is like a viable streamer, you know, kind of in that, whatever, that mid-tier QB2 range with some rushing upside.
Before we get to waiver wire, I want to clarify or check in with Stefania. Any Tuesday night updates that we need to be aware of, either players coming off the COVID-19 list, going on the COVID-19 list, things of that nature that we are keeping an eye on?
So I think today is the day to watch, right? So for Seattle, we will watch and see if Tyler Lockett is indeed activated for the Seahawks. I do want to note that Travis Homer, one of the Seahawks running backs, was added to the reserve COVID-19 19 list yesterday. Alex Collins also on that list. Rashad Penny clearly will get the start, but the depth behind him remains a little bit murky. For the Rams, we know that Jalen Ramsey was activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, so he returns. Let's see, who else have we got here?
Jalen Hurts, not a COVID situation, but he is full. He was off the injury report.
Jalen Hurts, I think the extra couple of days definitely helped him because he came off that last practice going into the weekend as questionable. That would have been the designation had they played Sunday. And instead, now he's off the injury report. So it shows you what a difference a couple of days can make. He had an ankle injury that I'm not sure is 100% improved, but they're comfortable with the progress that he's made that he can be effective in play.
As far as Washington's concerned at quarterback, Stefania, as of right now, neither Taylor Heinicke or Kyle Allen has been cleared from the COVID-19
list. That is correct. Yep. They remain on the COVID-19 list as of right now. Again, reminder, games are at 7. Could happen by 4 o'clock today. Anybody can be activated in advance of the game. JD McKissick officially out for this game for Washington.
And I think Terry McLaurin will play.
Yep, he's going to play. He is off the injury report as well. I think we'll get Garrett Gilbert tonight if those two players, I would say that would be my expectation.
You would expect it. Yep. I mean, it's a lot harder in the quarterback situation to just plug them in if they came off late in the day versus a wide receiver like Tyler Lockett.
Sure.
A big loss for Washington is Brandon Scherff going on to the reserve COVID-19 list as well.
All-pro guard, as if things hadn't been tough for that offensive line for a long time now.
If you
are best player on offense.
1,000%. If you sort of look at the numbers in games in which he's played versus games in which he's missed, Washington's record is much, much better in games in which Brandon Scherff has played. And so that's a big loss for Washington. On the positive side, they have gotten a number of their defensive line players back. So,
including Montez Sweat.
Montez Sweat. So we'll see how that all plays out. I think really interesting to see what the Eagles running back situation looks like.
Yeah, right? Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, all available. Really interesting to watch them tonight.
Everybody off the injury report in that regard.
We're going to come back and talk about the waiver wire and then try to empty the bucket for some leftover things from Sunday as well. But before we do that, support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to, and somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Right, Matthew? Yeah.
No,
luckily,
not
Supercuts
right for me.
Is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have the time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons at the availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you and check in or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained stylist. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you need a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up or you just want to look good, Supercuts make getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com.
With the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, and every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Time now for the waiver wire as we are back. Matthew, I'm going to let you go ahead and host this show. What could go wrong?
What indeed? How long do you have? I can come up with a long list of things that could go wrong.
We don't have that long.
What a great dig, Field. That was funny because it was just so you just slid it in there. And just, yeah, I mean, he's getting better at comedy hanging out with you, Matthew.
It's funny because it's true.
Wow.
All right, Field Yates.
Matthew's getting better because of me.
Because he's hanging out. That's fair.
Wow. Yeah. All right, 22 minutes. I have to endure this for another 22 minutes. All right. Great.
It's not bragging if it's true, Matthew.
Fair. You know what? That's factually correct, Stefania. Wow. That is factually correct.
Great pull
from Very nice callback. Back there from those who watch Fantasy Football Now. This past weekend, you get that. Field, you write the free agent finds column, the waiver wire wonders, the Field's favorite, whatever we're calling it, the free agent column on ESPN.com. I don't know what to call it. Like, I've asked him. He doesn't even know what they call it. What do they call it? What's the
waiver wire?
The waiver wire.
Yeah.
I kind of like free agent finds as a better name.
Okay,
everyone writes a waiver
wire. Okay, fine.
I like Fields' free agent fine specifically, Fields, not just free
Fields
agent.
Free agent fine. Yeah, exactly. That's a nice alliteration.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel. There you go. We've renamed the column.
Fields' favorite fantasy plays versus least favorite fantasy plays.
Stop it. No. I hate you.
What?
Fields plays
that he loves, Fields plays that he hates.
Right, exactly. I can do that. That would be good.
You want to do Fields waiver pickups you love, Fields waiver pickups you hate?
Also better. By the way, I'm not going to give the guy a shout out, but there's a fantasy columnist that writes a column called Love Hate. I just discovered
that's
last
you,
night.
Right?
No, beyond me.
I freaking hate that guy too, Matthew. Trust me.
You're
talking about the guy, not you.
You're right. Okay.
Not me. Sorry, my fault.
Anyway.
Okay.
Field the Waiver Wire column is up now on ESPN.com, I believe. Correct? Yes.
It's been posted. Yes, it is.
And if I need a running back, where am I looking?
You are looking in Tampa Bay, where Ronald Jones should be the starter for at least one game for the Buccaneers. This is a guy who, he has ability. That much we know. He was a second-round pick for a reason. He's run well. He's had 100-plus yard games in the past. The big thing for Ronald Jones is just consistency. He can't put the football on the ground. He's got to be better in pass protection, and the Bucs have to rely on him as much as he needs to show them he can be reliable. But opportunity is rife right here with no Leonard Fournette expected for this week. I think Ronald Jones will be a top 10 or 12 running backs in our ESPN consensus ranks. In a matchup against Carolina, that's not a great one, but not a terrible one as well. This Bucs running offense can be very, very good with Rojo.
Fields, you said no Leonard Fournette, and you also said that Giovanni Bernard is already ruled out or potentially going to be ruled out.
He's been banged up. He has not played for the past couple of games.
And the only other guy there is Keyshawn Vaughn.
Keyshawn Vaughn. Yep.
He didn't really establish a lot of confidence, it didn't look like, in his time out
there. This is his job. I mean, and Bruce Arians said as much yesterday, right? Yeah. And I know we've had plenty of quotes from Bruce Arians about running backs in the past, but this is not like this guy is like, you know, the next Marshall Faulk or something. He's just saying he's got, like, we don't have a choice. We are so limited right now at running back. If Gio's not available, it's got to be Rojo.
Speaking of running back field, now we got some news earlier in the show that Elijah Mitchell is a game time decision, but one of the reasons why you're not super optimistic about game time about Elijah Mitchell, I should say, is because of the performance of Jeff Wilson Jr.
Right, another great week for Jeff Wilson Jr., who's busy. He found the end zone, caught a couple of passes. And if Elijah Mitchell does not play on Thursday night, Jeff Wilson, he's going to be a top 20 play, right? I mean, he's been so busy recently. It has clearly been him and Deebo Samuel as their two runners right now. They run the football at a very, very high level. I'm a little bit worried about the matchup. As Matthew mentioned, the Titans do an excellent job bottling up opposing running backs. Just ask Najee Harris. But volume, opportunity, run scheme, give Jeff Wilson a chance to get 15 points in any given week.
In a week in which so much of it was just kind of like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Really? That guy? Wait, what? Why isn't my star doing anything? Perhaps nothing was more surprising than a running back that had literally had four touches the entire year, being one of the top fantasy performers of the week, and that's Miami's Duke Johnson.
He's the only running back that scored multiple touchdowns this past week. The only one. I mean, I guess we have two games left, but as of right now, one running back has scored two touchdowns. It's Duke Johnson. It's remarkable that that's the case. We explained yesterday why there is some pause here. Brian Flores confirmed after our show they still want this to be a running back by committee and that Miles Gaskin is a part of it. And we figure Savon Ahmed would be healthier. Malcolm Brown will probably play some this upcoming week if he's activated off of the IR list. Plus, the game is on Monday night. Plus, the game is against New Orleans, is a very, very good defense, as we all know. So I'm putting him on there, Matthew. And the idea, I think, would be, if he does it in two straight weeks where he has like 15 fantasy points, then in championship rounds starting in week 17 or starting and finishing in week 17, you might legitimately be playing Duke Johnson in your lineup.
Look, there's no question it was super impressive. The concerns, of course, it was the Jets. Now he plays the Saints with more competition for touches. And then the week after that, he's at Tennessee, as we just talked about. A Tennessee Titans team that's A, a good run defense, and B, in that game, will be coming off of 10 days rest because they play the Thursday night game. And so they'll have sort of extra rest to prepare for the Miami Dolphins. All that said, at this time of year, any running back with a pulse has value, and you're not putting that toothpaste back in the tube after what Duke Johnson did this past Sunday. Again, Brian Flores coming out and saying, like, Duke Johnson's going to be involved, so makes sense that even if you don't use him, You don't want somebody else perhaps using him against you. Let's move to Detroit, where there's actually some good news, Daniel Dobbs.
Yes, there is.
Where there's been a wide receiver that has some optimism.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's been so good recently. He's got 26 catches over the past 3 weeks. That's third in the NFL during that time, trailing only Chris Godwin and also George Kittle. He's been super volume heavy. He's also just a good football player. That much seems to be clear and clearer by the week. Although Detroit was up big against Arizona and won that game this past weekend, they still threw enough to get Amon-Ra St. Brown the requisite volume to remain a flex play, maybe even a high-end flex play or a low-end wide receiver too. In my initial ranks for week 16, I've got him a wide receiver 24.
By the way, he plays at Atlanta. Mm. You might be too low on him at wide receiver 24.
Now, there's one thing to consider there, which is the quarterback.
Jared Goff was placed on the COVID-19 list.
He was, but that's okay because one of the things the Detroit Lions have is amazing depth at every position.
God, you are such a jerk.
So, but in all seriousness, it's David Blau.
I take back everything nice I've ever said.
Is David Blau that much of a downgrade from Jared Goff?
Yes.
I think so.
He's a good story.
I love David Blau.
It's a great story. Yeah.
But
Yes, he is definitely a downgrade. That being said, I think there's a chance, by the way, that Goff, who said on the radio this morning, he felt some symptoms late Sunday night. He tested positive on Monday. There is a chance he'll play on Sunday. Just if you don't know what we're talking about, go to the top of the show and just listen to that segment over and over again, because it explains how there is a chance that anybody placed on the COVID-19 list could hypothetically play later that week.
One of the things about St. Brown, though, is he a lot of times plays close to the line of scrimmage. I actually think of all the pass catchers in Detroit, he's the one that might be least affected by a change in quarterback. And you see it there on your screen for those of you watching the stream. 34% target share in those three games. So even if it's not going to be efficient and Blau is a downgrade from Goff, the fact is he's getting such a crazy volume. Over the last 3 weeks, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the second best wide receiver in fantasy.
It's awesome.
The second best wide receiver in fantasy. You certainly like the matchup this week against the Atlanta Falcons as well. I forget who made this tweet, but David Blau is how you pronounce it.
Yep.
And so it was just somebody quote tweeted the news that Goff had been placed on the COVID list. And he wrote called David Blau. That's my name. Once again, that's my name. Called David Blau. I just screwed that all up. It's the Simpsons thing. It's the Mr. Blau. It's the Mr. Blau thing. And it was so good. And I just screwed it up. That poor guy. He had a great tweet. And I screwed it up. What is it exactly? It's like it's.
Don't ask me. I know what you're talking about.
Hold on.
Mr. Plow.
Weren't you just saying like 5 minutes ago how I've gotten funnier being around you?
Yeah, I've gotten less funny being around you.
What is going on? What was that attempted delivery
episode 9.
Yeah, but
I'm trying to find it. Calm down.
But like, it's.
Hey, do you know where you can watch every episode of The Simpsons ever?
Disney Plus.
Thank you.
Disney Plus. Thank you very much.
Hey, by the way, if you're looking for yesterday's episode of The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry and I, we actually didn't tape one yesterday. Matthew, do you want to tell people why?
Well, just because normally our taping schedule works here, we usually tape Monday afternoon prior to the Monday night game. We're very open about that. It's just because of Daniel and I's schedule, the producer's schedule, studio availability. But we ended up not doing the show because there were still 8 teams left to play.
Right.
And so that show, which is a look back at the week, but also a look forward and does a lot of waiver wire stuff, we just felt like that we wouldn't be able to give you an accurate show with 8 teams still to play. And so anyway, there'll be a new show on Wednesday. I think first thing Thursday morning that will get you set for week 16.
Call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
Right. So it was, yeah.
That was good.
Call David Blau. That's my name. That name again is David Blau. So that's what the guy tweeted, which was very funny in the moment. And I just ruined it.
No, it was completely good. It was funny.
It was awful.
4 minutes ago, it's still funny now.
Yeah, great.
No, that's good.
There you go. Sorry. Sorry to everyone. I apologize to everyone. You know what? Here's what I need. I need a teary eyed press conference where I read from a prepared statement. I go up sadly, you know, I'll take no questions after this. I've disappointed my coworkers, my family, my friends.
Yeah, what's new?
I appreciate everyone's privacy at this difficult time.
Good Lord. Gabe Davis?
Gabe Davis.
Yeah. Talk to Gabe Davis. Yeah.
Talk to me about a guy in Buffalo.
There's no delicate way out of that. It was awful.
So Gabe Davis has a touchdown in three straight games. That seems good.
By the way, that moment was like, for by the way, cut to like Kirk Cousins or anyone that played on Monday night going like, you're criticizing me for bad entertainment. What was that, Terry? That was awful. That was, like our crappy NFL game was still better than that. Whatever that 4 minutes was.
I got news for you. They don't watch you.
Wow.
Wow.
But we do.
If only that were true.
So you just apologize to the people who care, your family.
I just did. I just read from a prepared statement.
That was prepared?
With meaning.
Wow.
I have a couple of them in my phone.
Honestly, like every day.
Just in case.
Every day in front of a live microphone, I have to have a prepared statement because there's always a chance.
My notes app just has like four or five different like templates. Which situation does this one
fit? Right, exactly. That I've screwed up and I need to.
My goodness.
And that I've completely butchered.
They just completely abandoned us in the control room because we've ruined
it. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Where is this going? We can't salvage it. We cannot get this time back in our lives.
No. No, you most certainly cannot.
Gabe Davis is a good wide receiver, though, right?
He's a great wide receiver. You know what, Daniel?
What?
Third best wide receiver in fantasy so far this week.
That's right.
He had two touchdowns, five catches, 85 yards. He's scored a touchdown in three straight games. He's got 15 targets over the past 2 weeks. Emmanuel Sanders' status for week 16 is not yet known. If Emmanuel Sanders is out, I suspect Gabe Davis will continue to play a lot. Even if Emmanuel Sanders is in, you probably still have to find a way for Gabe Davis to continue to play. So he's a player that has some upside, good offense, tough matchup this week against the Patriots. But Gabe Davis, really interesting player, and certainly somebody that you have on your dynasty or your keeper league teams you feel great about.
I have him in every league that I have a dynasty team. I love Gabe Davis. We've talked about him for a lot. By the way, tough matchup against the Patriots this week, but last time he played the Patriots, scored a touchdown and came inches from scoring a second against them towards the end of that game. It is one of the best passing offenses in the NFL, obviously, and Gabriel Davis, not for nothing, was on the love list this past week, as was Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm just saying.
Wow, well done. It's time to empty the bucket from week 15 on Sunday, and Cordarrelle Patterson was the second most popular player in terms of playoff rosters. He was on a playoff team in 62% of ESPN leagues.
Wow.
I do not know who was first. Perhaps Kyle can chime in. My guess is Jonathan Taylor, but I do not know the answer on that one. Perhaps Kyle will be able to confirm.
Does everybody want to take a guess? Because Kyle's going to text me in Slack right now and tell me who it is.
What is the question?
What player was on a playoff team in the highest percentage of ESPN leagues? If Cordarrelle Patterson was second,
who was number one?
Cooper Kupp.
That is who it is. Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, confirmed.
I said it first, man.
Stefania, as always, nailed it. Yeah. But so Cordarrelle Patterson, second in terms of percentage of leagues in which he was on a playoff team, 62%. And he may have been the player that helps you lose the most playoff matchups in week 15 because he had just 4.3 fantasy points. Now, a couple of notes here. This is a game that very easily could have looked a lot different for Cordarrelle Patterson, but the 49ers defense was exceptional. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, the 49ers became the first defense to force three separate turnovers on downs from inside their own 10-yard line in a game in over 40 years. So the Falcons had three opportunities where they were literally knocking at the door. I believe early on in the game, actually I know early on in the game, there was a call that was originally ruled a touchdown for Cordarrelle Patterson that was overturned upon review. I'm not saying it was a great game, but still, if that very, very close play counts for 6 points, we're looking at 10.3 fantasy points and saying, not great, but still salvageable during a crummy week.
Not as bad as Najee Harris, not as bad as, James Conner. Not as bad as many of the running backs that let you down.
If you had got
not
10
as bad as Joe Mixon.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to talk about Najee Harris, Matthew? I mean, because he's up on this list too. You want to go?
Let it out. Let it out, dude. Just let it out. Get it all out.
It's all brutal. All of it's awful.
Worst game of the season for Najee Harris, Matthew Berry.
Oh yeah, he was. I mean, under five fantasy points.
Yeah.
He was. He scored less than who was the. What was the name of the Miami Dolphins defensive lineman that caught the touchdown?
Christian Wilkins.
That's
from
right.
Here in Connecticut somewhere?
Close. But he went to high school here in Connecticut. He went to Sheffield Academy.
Yeah, okay. There
but
you
he's
go.
From Framingham, Massachusetts.
Oh, there you no go. Way.
So again, a lot of Massachusetts football player talk today. So
yeah. There you go. No very deal. Exciting. That's what the people love. That and blown references to the Simpsons from
yeah, I was 15 say,
years ago. That
you're trying to tell me what
joke.
I can't talk about after you delivered like the world's worst monologue of all time earlier.
1,000%.
Wow. Okay.
By 1,000%, I mean it was the world's worst monologue. I'm owning that. I'm absolutely. Yeah, listen. For my last show ever, I feel like I could have gone out better. I'm not going to lie. I'm clearly, ESPN is not letting me anywhere near a microphone as soon as we're done with the show. I have been fired. I am sure there's an HR person waiting right outside the door. It is what it was a good run, 060 Nation. I appreciate you guys. Follow
Who's
me
taking
on social,
over in your place?
Follow me on social media. Edek? I assume Mike Clay. I would assume Mike Clay.
I got Ken.
You know?
Ken Dobby.
Ken Dobby's
Ken
coming.
Ken Dobby's coming here. Do you think Ken ever hears these references?
I hope so, man.
Because we always Ken's a great guy. He's a long time friend.
We have a deep bench. Yeah. Tristan Cockcroft. I know, but do you think Ken hears these?
Because like, we reference Ken frequently. Like, do you think he's totally like blocked ESPN fantasy out of his mind?
No.
Ken's my go to. When I met him, he was such a nice guy. I mean, back when I first started here at ESPN, he was such a nice dude. I mean, everyone says the nicest stuff about him, but I hope he hears it because I say that out of love.
Anyway, Ken Dobby was somebody who wrote for my old Talented Mr. Roto website and came here when ESPN bought my website. He was one of the people that we brought over and had a role here with us at ESPN Fantasy. He has a real job in the real world, like a massive, very cool, very high paying, but time intensive job in the real world. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what it is, but ultimately it just his actual career kept going so well. We offered him a full-time job here at ESPN Fantasy and just, we couldn't afford, like he makes a really good living and he has a really, really important job in the real world. And so he just, his other career that he loves, just he ultimately had to move on, but know that he still plays fantasy. He's a big fan. We all love and miss Ken Dobby. I like the idea that somebody's going to be in the player app and click on our Najee Harris video and just see us talking about Ken Dobby for a minute and a half. Fantastic. Again, like I wish my last show ever had gone better. But I hope you guys will subscribe to my Substack.
Stop it.
You know, and
follow me and on TikTok. Follow
me on TikTok. You know, and
what's your username there again?
Well, yeah, it's at Matthew Berry TMR.
I thought it was Charlie D'Amelio.
I'm at Matthew Berry TMR in all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm at Matthew Berry. So
I want to know
me in
what,
all those places because obviously I ain't coming back here anymore.
I kind of just want to know what job it is that Ken has now. I'm just going to sort of guess like what high profile type. Do you think he works marketing for like Keeps? Is that what it is, Matthew? Is that why it's so?
I don't believe that is what he does. Ken Dobby is bald.
Matthew is bald. Bonded over that, yeah.
But yeah, listen, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my hair. I got to be honest with you. I'm having meetings. I'm talking to folks.
Are you?
Trying to figure it out. Do I shave it all off? Do I try to do some sort of hair restoration kind of process?
Go Urlacher on us. That'd be great.
Go Urlacher.
Honestly,
yeah,
like you think about it for like a year or two, it'd be kind of like a little awkward because people are like, dude, what happened to? Wait, I thought he was bald. But like 3 years from now, people are gonna be like, damn, Matthew looks. Yeah, he's getting younger. He's Benjamin Button.
Exactly. I'm so glad I subscribed to that guy's Substack.
Yeah.
I miss him on the 060 & 060. That's what they'll
be
say.
Like, that guy had a full head of hair for the last six months of his life.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Hey, whatever. I can't. I've been on. By the way, I've had basically the same hairline for like 12 years. So I can't suddenly show up with a full Urlacher, you know, and not own it.
I'm telling you, though. Like
I have to own it. I have to completely own it.
Dive in head first. I agree. No pun intended. But when you show up and then everybody, it's like the shock reaction and then everybody gets used to it. Don't do it slow and like creep in.
You got to do it. You either go all in. You know what, Matthew?
Commit.
Maybe we do this. Maybe we try to find a really big thing where you and I'll shave my beard.
I was just
going to
say, can I get a donation?
Yeah, and you shave your head. Where we'll do a thing. Maybe we'll try to raise a bunch of money where we'll do something like that. I don't know.
What if you just like wear a hat for 2 years straight and then just claim that you just had hair growing on it the whole time,
like Danny Cannell?
Yes.
Did Danny Cannell wear a hat for like 3 straight years on air or something like that?
Really?
When he was with us? I don't think he has a hair issue the way I do.
He's got good lettuce, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, good lettuce.
Why is it called lettuce?
But I was just going to say, I feel like every time I ever saw I feel like anytime I ever saw Danny Cannell on air, you know, or he's always wearing a hat. Like, I always feel like that was kind of his thing.
He's graduated baseball from hats to turtlenecks now. My guy Danny likes it. He actually rocks them pretty well, Danny. I respect it. I'm not hating.
No, we love Danny. Of course. Danny's an old friend, old colleague. I hope you guys speak well of me. We just got, by the way, the producer, the director just got in my ear and just said 2 minutes. But what was great is he was just like, 2 minutes. Like, 2 minutes. Like, just get through this. You just got to get through it for two more minutes. Just like,
but this it was like the two minute warning in an NFL game where it's actually 12 minutes left, right?
Yeah, no timeouts. We just want to get through the 2 minutes.
The end of the show has been a lot of hanging out. We appreciate that. Also, this week is just going to be weird. Tomorrow's show, can we just talk about tomorrow's show real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Stefania is not going to be here. It's going to be me, Matthew, and Field. So also, it's a Wednesday show, which is going to be our Friday show because I want everyone to have as many days off for the holidays as possible. So please bear with us with that. So tomorrow's show, we're going to have some fun just talking some conversation, but we're still not going to know a whole lot by the time we get to tomorrow previewing this week 16.
That's right. We also have fantasy.
Cut to everyone at home, by the way. We still won't know a lot. What else is different? What else is new? Right.
You knew so much last week, you had me start Tom Brady and Najee Harris and Alvin Kamara and Jamar Chase and Gronk and all those guys.
Higgins, exactly.
Higgins was fine. He had 23 receiving yards. He was totally fine in relative to Jamar Chase, who had three, right?
Exactly. Chase Claypool. It was all 12. Brutal. It was ugly and awful and a black hole. And all I'm going to say is like, you know what? You know how you could have avoided all this? A subscription to rotopass.com. Look, it's my last show.
You're going to go out swinging.
That's right. I'm going to go down swinging. That's exactly right. Stefania knows me. You're damn right. Well, listen, my show, I got to get one last plug in.
It's not your last show. You better show up tomorrow.
I am telling you, there is somebody from ESPN HR outside the studio waiting to escort.
They don't care about you that much.
ESPN HR and ESPN Security is waiting outside the studio to escort me to my car. And they will, like, we'll bring you a box of the stuff from your desk. Like, you don't even get to go there. Anyway, rotopass.com makes a great gift subscription. You get 12 months of ESPN Plus and 5 other great fantasy sites that'll help you through the playoffs, through DFS, through all of next year, through best ball and dynasty season.
There you go. Good stuff right there. Stefania is gone tomorrow.
I'll miss all of you.
What's the promo code for RotoPass?
06010 gets you 10% off.
All right.
Stefania's gone tomorrow. Dane and I will be here. Matthew, we'll see you.
I'll miss all of you guys.
We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Much love. Peace out.
Got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.